Well, tonight we'll have two different places that we're reading. First of all, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. But then if you would turn, keep your finger there, turn and put a marker in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We're going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 1 in just a moment. So I guess hold your finger there at Ecclesiastes 7, 1. But let's all together first read Proverbs 22 and verse number 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. And turn next, if you would, to Ecclesiastes in chapter 7, and we'll read verse number 1 together. So let's read all together Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Father, tonight we just ask that you'd give us ears that we could listen and receive what you have for us from your wonderful word. And Lord, use our preacher, fill him with your spirit as he shares the message you've put on his heart. And pray you'll help us to pay close attention. And we'll thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
The Lord thought it was awfully important to teach Solomon how to teach his son about having a good name. Last week we had part two of this study on what it means to have a good name. And Solomon taught his boy that having a good name was better than having great riches, as we read a moment ago. And then, of course, in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 1, it says a good name is better than precious ointment. We found that the words good and precious are interchangeable in the Word of God. I'm going to read you once again. The long list of different applications and meanings are found in the words good and precious, because these words are interchangeable in the Word of God. And so with Proverbs 22:1 and Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 1, good means fitting and right and the right thing as a thing should be. It means right and true, desirable, goodly, beautiful, valuable, convenient, favorable, profitable, happy, joyful, cheerful, comfortable, sweet, wholesome, kind, liberal, and bountiful, and of course, glorious. All those words are encompassed in the words good and precious. They're interchangeable. Anywhere you read in the Word of God and find those words in the Old Testament, you'll find that they fit either way. So what a wonderful blessing that is. We also said, by way of review, that a good names, people have good names and people have bad names, but they cannot have both. I gave you some names of kings mentioned in the Bible and had you tell me whether or not they were good or bad. I'm not going to have you tell me that tonight. I'm just going to tell you what they are by way of a review. Saul was a bad king. David was a good king. Solomon was a good king. Rehoboam was a bad king. Jeroboam was a bad king. Asa was a bad king. Ahab was a bad king. Jehoshaphat was a good king. Uzziah was a good king. Hezekiah was a good king. Manasseh was a bad king. And Josiah was a good king. And all of these men, good or bad, they all had interchangeable traits. Every good king did some bad things from time to time. And every bad king, most of them, had something good that could be laid to their testimony. But the truth is, they gained those reputations because of the lifestyle that they had chosen, the judgments that they had made. We discussed in our first study that there are things that each of us can do in order to have a good name. And let me just review those to you again tonight. I said, first of all, be a good Christian. Be a good Christian. You know, the Bible has things laid out for a Christian to do. And so, therefore, every child of God ought to desire to be a good Christian. Secondly, I said, be a good human being. Be a good human being. That's what the king said to his son. He said, be a man. He said, show yourself a man. He wasn't saying be manly or anything like that. He was saying be a good human being. God created you in his image, and so you should live in that image. And then we said also to follow the example of Christ, and we said to do that by doing two things. As the Word of God gave us instruction, follow in his steps, and then follow those who follow in his steps as good examples. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, be thou an example. Well, that, he wanted him to be an example so that people could follow his example. The Apostle Paul said twice, follow me as I follow Christ. And he meant it with all of his heart. It's not wrong to follow the example of a human being when they're a good example. And we're living in a day and age today because, I guess some folks think they're more spiritual than others, but they say, I don't follow the example of men. I just follow Jesus. Well, that sounds spiritual, doesn't it? But that isn't what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we're to follow Jesus. We're to walk in his steps, but the Bible also teaches that we're to follow the example of good, godly men and women, and that's what we're supposed to do. And so, fooey on those folks that are more spiritual than I am, who think that you can't follow the example of a man. It's like some of those rapscallions who they don't have people sign their Bibles, or if they do, they haven't signed it in pencil. In case they have a problem in their life, they can erase their name out of their Bible. I've actually been told that by some. I'm not making that up. And the next time I tell you the truth, I'll let you know then as well. But the truth is, I've got Bibles in my office right now that have men's signatures, men who are alive and men who have passed away, some men who made some grievous mistakes and others who did not, that I know of, make those same mistakes. But I'm not going to erase their names out of my Bible, that's for sure. I thank God for their good example. And just as surely as there are ways to have a good name, and I just shared those with you, there are also ways to ruin a good name. And there are definite ways to do that. The Bible has much to say about this. So if you want to write down the references, that'll be great, because I'm not going to wait for you to turn there in your Bible. I'm going to read the verses to you, but you're welcome to write down the references that I give you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. That's one way to get a bad name or to ruin a good name. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. A person that maybe at one time walked with wise men, then walked with a fool and ruined his reputation, ruined his name. And then there's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. The Bible says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who, concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Listening to wrong teachers can ruin your name. It can ruin your reputation. You've got to be careful who you listen to. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. You've got to remember Hebrews was written to Christians, not to the unsaved. And he says, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. A bitter heart, a bitterness in your heart can ruin you and those affected by it. You see, the Bible says it's a root of bitterness. It's interesting, a root will grow out. If you were to come to my house and try to drive a stake in the front yard, you wouldn't be able to do it hardly at all. Our entire front yard is filled with roots from our aspen tree. I've tried to put signs up during an election. I've used, Texas tacks, those great big old long nails, and to drive those. I remember trying to put a sign in our front yard for a political thing, and it wouldn't go in the ground without me bending the frame, so I had to get a Texas tack and drive two holes in the ground and hit a root no matter where I did it. It springs up everywhere and causes problems. Bitterness is exactly that way. And then there's 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So there, again, you're talking about listening to the wrong crowd. They can ruin your name. They can ruin them, not only themselves, but they can ruin every person that they touch. And then I want to go to 2 Peter chapter 2 once again, and we're going to read verses 18 through 20. Because again, the Bible is talking about these evil influences that come into our lives. And notice what the Word of God says in 2 Peter 2, verses 18, 19, and 20. For when they speak great spelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. So we find here once again, good people can be corrupted. It's amazing how a mom and a dad can teach a child or children the ways of the Lord, and I mean, just teach the Word of God and memorize the Scriptures, and one friend that they might have can draw them away from the truth. Just amazing. I've been in the ministry long enough to see it and to see it and to see it again. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Your words can affect many people. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. he's writing to Christian people now. He says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? The word leaven in the Bible is a picture of sin, of wrongdoing, of falling, and things like that. And so it says here, all it takes is a little bit. Doesn't take much, just takes a little bit. And then Proverbs 1:10, probably the most famous of all the verses that you'll hear from me tonight concerning how wrongdoers and how a good person can fall into sin. It says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Tell them no. Tell them no. And then the last ones I'll give you on that is Romans chapter 16 and verse 18. It says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. How many good Christian people have been deceived by those that I call them a silver-tongued devil who can persuade people the wrong way with their words? But there are the people in the Bible, of course, and I just gave you a number of those about the Bible, talking about how a person can be changed from a good testimony to a corrupted testimony. But in the Word of God, there are people in the Bible who lost a good name. They had a good name at one time, but lost that good name. The names you will know. Number one, Samson. In Judges chapter 16, verses 16 through 21, listen to the words about Samson. He was a judge in Israel. He was raised by godly parents. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But yet, he started out, I think, okay, but then he got messed up. It says in verses 16 through 21, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. He was raised right. started off okay, got messed up with the wrong crowd. As a judge in Israel, he got messed up. Got messed up with a woman, and her name was Delilah, of all things. And changed him. Now, at the end of his life, the Bible says he destroyed more of the enemies than in his lifetime, than in his life. But you know, that doesn't excuse what he did. When you mention the name Samson, people think of strength and all the rest of it, the jawbone of an ass and all the different stories about that. But probably the main thing Samson is remembered for is his fall with Delilah. Amazing. Then there's a fellow by the name of Amnon. You know the name Amnon. In fact, you can finish out the verse in your own head of what the Bible says. In 2 Samuel 13 and verse 3, it says, "But Amnon had a friend." Wow. "Whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man." So here we find that Amnon, I believe, started off good, but he was influenced by an evil friend. The Bible says that his friend Jonadab was a subtle man, and he encouraged Amnon to commit a sin. Very interesting thing. As he did that, it ruined his name. You know, Amnon doesn't have a good name, but I believe he started off with a good name. But he ended up with a bad name because he listened to the wrong friend. Now, a New Testament story illustrates how a good name is lost. And I want you to take your Bible and go there, if you would. Go to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, we're going to see here, because the New Testament actually illustrates this. I've given you Old Testament illustrations, but I want to give you a New Testament story that actually illustrates this entire thing. Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 18 and reading down through verse 23, it says, "And he saith unto them, Are ye also without understanding? Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? And he said, That which cometh out of a man that defileth a man, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." When we studied the book of Ecclesiastes, I believe it was, correct me if it's supposed to be Proverbs, but I think it was in Ecclesiastes. He said, "I am more brutish than any man." And it was a Bible study that I did on following your nose, wherever it goes, and just letting your human, fallen human nature take over and follow the desires of that. That's what it's talking about here. That can ruin you. Good men, good women can get caught up in pornography, can get caught up in filth, get caught up with the wrong crowd, get caught up with all kinds of dishonesty, dishonoring things to God. And good men can do that. That will ruin their name. The Bible says it comes from within. And doesn't that go with what James taught? It says a man is tempted when he's drawn away of what? His own lust and enticed. So the Bible talks about, listen, we have a fallen human nature. And that fallen human nature, I guess psychologists call it a bent, a strength in your life. But you know, a bent can bend you away from the will of God, you see. It's not just your strength that you might have in public speaking or a strength in helping others or a strength in organization or a strength in anything. We have a strength inside of us that is a fallen human nature that bends itself toward that which is evil. Billy Graham said one time, it's not a sin to see a female who is immodestly dressed. He said it's a sin to look a second time. And looking that second time is what our old nature wants to do, you see. It's an amazing thing. I think he also said something along these lines. I'll get it wrong, I'm sure. It's not a sin for a bird to land in your hair, but it's a sin to let him make a nest up there. Bottom line, you see. But that's what it's talking about here in Mark chapter 7. It illustrates how we can have a ruined name and a ruined testimony because of what comes out of us, our fallen, feeding the wrong dog that's in the fight, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7. And of course, we all know those passages, the passage in the Word of God. where the Apostle Paul said, when I want to do right, I do wrong. When I choose to do wrong, he said, there's a law inside of me. It contradicts the law of God. And he says, I've got a will that works against the will of God. All these things go together. And if we succumb to the old human nature, we're going to many times ruin our own testimony and our own name. If I could give you a nickel for every time I've heard someone say something similar to this, you would be rich. I don't know what happened. I have no idea what happened. One day I was doing this, and the next day I'm in sin. Happens to more people than you can possibly imagine, with sometimes the most evil of sins. Now, how did all those bad things get in there? The Bible even has an answer for that. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, you ought to write it down. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. When the Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, it draws a picture for us of putting things into our heart. The way you put things into your heart are through your five senses. Your hearing, your sight, your smell, your taste, and your touch. That's the way the devil gets things into us. And then when we think on those things and they go into our heart, you got to be careful what you meditate on. Word of God tells us that it says, blessed is the man that he meditates day and night in the Word of God. Now, why is that significant? Because sometimes we meditate on other things that are not godly or things that are not good. And so the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. But what does verse 11 say in Psalm 119? Thy word have I what? Hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, let me confess something to you out of my own life personally. You ever get a song in your head that shouldn't be there? I'm just telling you, I have. And the other morning, this week, I had a song go through my head, and I said to myself, what's that doing there? That song shouldn't have been there. So what did I start doing? I started taking the scripture that I put in my heart, and I started quoting that so that that song would not overtake me. But that song stayed with me for a long time that morning, and I'm here to tell you, you got to be careful what you meditate on, because what goes into the heart comes out, you see. In order to think it into your heart, you got to somehow be influenced by it. So once again, we say that the verse that we read at the beginning, evil communications do what? Corrupt good manners. Got to be careful. Have to be careful. It says, oh, it's just an innocent thing. Perhaps, and perhaps not. But if it's ruining your testimony or causing you to go a different direction than what you should be going, then it needs to be taken out of your life. So what are some influences that can make your name bad? I wrote down 12 things. You can add 12 more, and probably 12 more besides that. Wrong friends. Big influence in our lives. Wrong friends. Bad language. When I was working at Thrall Car Manufacturing as a college student, Robin and I were like two ships passing in the night. I worked, and she did school. I came home one night, and about ready to go to bed, and I said, talk to me. Just talk to me. Of course, question in her mind, why do I need to just talk? I said, because what I've heard tonight at work, the language that I have heard, I need to hear something good. Let's say, what did she do? She talked to me. That was a long time ago. But you see, when you hear it long enough, if you're not careful, you're going to get into a bad situation, and you're going to have to say to God, pardon my French. And God's going to say, I know what you said, and I understand French, and that wasn't French. That was just nothing but good old-fashioned American cursing. Got to be careful what you put in. And I've met a lot of people through the years that you begin to repeat what you hear all the time. And when I worked at Thrall Car Manufacturing, oh, there were some college kids that worked there along with me, and I had, you know, and of course, but there were a lot of filthy language that went on, stuff in people's lockers. And all, one man that was there, one male, I'm not going to call him a man, one male that worked there, his locker was filled full of pornography. And I thought, you know, that's how evil is that? How did you see it? Because he opened it up when I was standing near. I looked away. And what I'm saying is it can have a bad influence on you. Ungodly associations, questionable activities, sinful actions, inappropriate responses, uncontrolled reactions, inappropriate appearance, suggestive and inappropriate humor, dishonesty, unfaithfulness, sins that are not dealt with. I named off three: envy, pride, and jealousy. All these things can lend themselves to making you have a bad name. But like I said, you could make a list of 12 more, couldn't you? And then 12 more beyond that. And you could probably make a list that I couldn't mention tonight in public of all things. There was a youth man a number of years ago who came to a youth meeting at a fairly large church. A youth group in that church was about 150, maybe a little bit more. And he got up in front of the teenagers and said, "I want to tell you a joke." He says, "Now, it's clean, it's not dirty," and I'm glad he said that, but the next thing he said was what made it wrong. He said, "And it's not that I don't know the other kind." Do you think a group of teenagers needed to hear that? I don't think so. Now, maybe I'm just a prude, and just maybe I'm holier than thou, but I just kind of thought that was inappropriate for a young person to hear that kind of a statement coming from a preacher who was working with youth. Everybody in that room knew a dirty joke, and he didn't need to remind them of it, of all things. So that brings me to what we've been waiting for, which is the conclusion. A rose by any other name smells the same. If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, must be a duck. If it looks like a skunk, walks like a skunk, and smells like a skunk, logic tells you then it must be a skunk. And all of that to say, if it looks like it might give you a bad name, acts like it might give you a bad name, and sounds like it might give you a bad name, it's probably going to give you a bad name. It's pretty consistent in our lives. You should never travel a road that has a bad name at the end of it. I'm going to say it again. You should never travel a road that has a bad name at the end of it. Rehoboam, Solomon's own son, got himself a bad name by walking down the wrong road. And you, none of us in this room want to make that same tragic mistake. We want to keep it right. So stay off that road. So how do you stay off the road? Well, best way is to never get on it. But number two, if you end up on it, turn around and go the other way. Get off that road, you see. And what have I said for years? The wrong road always what? Leads to the wrong place. And the right road always leads to the right place. But the right road will never lead you to the wrong place. And the wrong road will never lead you to the right place. All that goes together. So we're talking about a good name. Now, at the very beginning, I said there were three Bible studies on a good name. I was mistaken. There are four. Tonight was number three. Next Wednesday night, if God's willing and if the creek don't rise and rapture doesn't happen, we're going to have the fourth study on a good name. And I trust that all of us will plan on being back here on next Wednesday night for the last Bible study on the good name.